This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA. It's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
And welcome to the GSMC Sports Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. All right, it's Tuesday. We have no finals games going on tonight. All right, that is going to be tomorrow. We have to wait yet another day. That does not mean, though, that we can't talk about it. At least some storylines surrounding it. Today we're going to touch on like Rodney Hood. He seems like he's going to be playing more minutes in Game 3. All right, talk about LeBron's legacy and all, his finals record, all that. And pretty much, like I said, just touch on a couple of other things that comes to mind about that series in the first segment. Second segment, the Oakland A's take Kyler Murray, who is also the Oklahoma Sooners quarterback this season. All right, they take him with a 9th pick of the first round. I'm going to give my thoughts on that, talk a little bit about Murray, and also just talk about the pluses of playing baseball over football, or vice versa, depending on whatever side I am on. Third segment, we're going to head over to the NFL. Not more so talking about NFL news because there's not much going on right now, but going to talk about some players with some intriguing storylines surrounding them going into the season, guys like Joe Flacco, Tyrod Taylor, guys who kind of going into the season with uncertainty, and guys who probably need to step up a little bit. So we'll be doing that for the third segment, and then for the fourth segment, we will be talking about anything else going on in the world of sports, as we always do for that segment. All right, so that's how it's going to go. It's going to be a fun show. I'm going to enjoy it. You'll enjoy it. All right, so let's get into it. Like I said, we had Game 3 going on Wednesday, okay? And LeBron has made, this is his 9th finals. Currently 3-5. And eventually we'll probably end up 3-6. I've never really been one to talk too much about rings as far as talking about individual players. I've always been under the idea that, yes, it does look better on a resume, but in reality, winning a title is more so a team stat rather than an individual player stat. All right, it is difficult to take a team to the finals and win it when you really don't have much help. And I'm not talking about LeBron in this instance. I'm just saying in general, that's my idea. All right, but nonetheless, LeBron, it does get talked about. Okay, so I'm trying to think right now how, like, if this finals affects his legacy. Because in reality, going into this series, I mean, did anyone truly think that LeBron had any chance of winning this finals? I can't say that there was much. All right. I mean, we've all seen this Warriors team. They beat the Spurs in 5 games, beat the Pelicans in 5 games, and then against the Rockets, they did look vulnerable. I will say that. Okay, let's say that Chris Paul doesn't mess up his hamstring. Chances are maybe the Rockets get out of that series. But obviously we'll never know about it, so we can't really speak too much about that. All right. But nonetheless, we knew that a team with Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and a couple of solid role players is going to be tough to beat, okay? And I think we can all agree that this is, if you don't think it is, I mean, this definitely is one of the worst teams LeBron has played on and gotten this far, okay? People like to use the 07 team as kind of like the measuring stick as far as being the worst team that he's ever played with. But I think with that 07 team, they had guys who, yeah, obviously weren't top players in the NBA or anything like that, but they had guys who had certain roles on that squad and they knew how to pretty much excel at those roles, all right? This team, it's more so, it's Kevin Love and LeBron. After that, you're kind of just hoping, okay, maybe this guy steps up. Okay, how about that guy? Wait, no, maybe that guy will. You never know what you're going to get from either of these guys, either of these players. Okay? And as far as like how this affects his legacy, I'm not really sure how it can if no one had him winning at all. Okay. I mean, maybe if they played the Rockets, that'd be different. Because obviously the Rockets did give the Warriors a tough go of it in that series. But it's just there's something about the Warriors that kind of separates them from anyone else in this league, I feel. All right. And I'm not sure if it's just the two top five players or in total the four top 20 players in the league, but there's just something about them where it's kind of like with Houston, they're just like a normal basketball team where you can beat them on any given night. And it's just with the Warriors, you pretty much got to be at your absolute best in order to have a shot, maybe to be late in the fourth quarter, close. Okay. But nonetheless, I mean, thinking about it, how many more finals does LeBron have a chance to get back to? Okay. I think if he goes with Philly or goes to Philly, he'll be battling it out with Boston and maybe Milwaukee if they ever find the right coach. Toronto's always going to be up there still. I don't know. Toronto should be up there next year. And I think those are going to be the four teams right there. The Wizards, I think, are going down a bit. The Heat need a superstar in order to be, I say, more competitive. And then, of course, you just throw in a playoff team or two after that. And, I mean, isn't really, like I said, the Raptors, Celtics, Sixers are probably going to be the top teams out there. All right. But nonetheless, if he goes to Philly, I mean, it will be tough going up against Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. Plus, you got Jason Tatum now and Jaylen Brown, of course, unless Danny Ainge decides to make some crazy trade where he brings in some star player and gives away like Jaylen Brown or Tatum or something like that. He goes to Houston. That's going to be, if LeBron goes west, I think it's going to be tougher to make it back to the finals rather than if he goes east. Okay. Because obviously, if you go to Philly, that's a team that could beat the Celtics with the new additions that they're going to be getting next season. Well, I mean, the same additions, but more so these guys won't be hurt. And if you go to the West, you still got to go and compete with one of the best teams of all time, which is going to make it difficult. If he goes to Houston, I mean, they do have a chance. But like I said, it's going to be a whole lot more difficult than rather playing the Celtics to get ahead. All right, going to the Lakers, even with Paul George, I don't think they have enough to beat the Warriors, so there's that. I think that eventually, possibly if these players develop into what the Lakers expect them to be, but that's also difficult in itself. All right. But nonetheless, I mean, the series hasn't really been, how do you say, surprising. Okay, more so maybe a little disappointing. I haven't been like rooting for the Cavs to win this series, just more so maybe for them to get a couple of games in order for this series to be a bit more competitive. All right, I had no problem with the Cavs and Warriors being back in the finals for the fourth straight year, but it's just more so you're just looking to be entertained. You don't want it to be a four-game sweep where it's just all wow. All right, there was no chance whatsoever by the opposition. And we almost had that in game one, of course, won't be getting that anymore. But nonetheless, I mean, the Cavs do have a shot at winning game three, I guess. I was talking with Tate yesterday, and we were talking about how pretty much he says that the Cavs can get a game in Cleveland. I'm just not sure how they do it. All right. Ty Lue came out and said that Rodney Hood would be playing more minutes and not just the garbage time minutes or anything like that. I'm for that move, okay? Obviously, Rodney Hood has just been a shell of himself as far as being a player in the postseason so far with the Cavs. But I think that him getting some regular playing time, meaning rather than just at the end of the game where they're down 20, but more so where it matters during the game, I think that's going to help him, okay? The only way you get out of the little slump that you're in is by playing more, all right? And I think with Ty Lue doing that, that's going to, I don't know if it'll be a spark, but it's something, okay? Rodney Hood just could come out and just play terrible, and there's none that it wouldn't change a thing. It's just Rodney Hood isn't playing very well right now. All right. But at least with Rodney Hood playing more minutes in game three, which is tomorrow, it's at least showing that Tyler's trying to exhaust every option that he has. Who knows? Maybe throws out Chetty Osmond instead of J.R. Smith or whoever out there. Okay. But also, if you're Ty Lue, do you think about starting Rodney Hood? Okay. I think you have to at least. J.R. Smith, I think, is just old as a player, okay? If you've been paying attention to him this season, he hasn't really been the J.R. that we all have come to watch. He's not really shooting the ball too well. All right, and he's been struggling a lot so far in this series. I mean, you could look at Jordan Clarkson, but he's also been one who has just been, honestly, just to put it nicely, just terrible so far in the series. Can't really buy a bucket right now. And I guess the only other option you'd have besides Rodney Hood is Kyle Korver, and he seemingly really hasn't showed up so far in this final series. I think that at least you have to think about the idea of starting Rodney Hood. Okay. And then just going back to how the Cavs beat the Warriors, I mean, I don't see it. I did pick the Warriors in five, so I guess a win for Cleveland here wouldn't do me no harm, given that I want to get this prediction right. But it's just a point where I've watched this team for the first two games. Kevin Love has played well. LeBron obviously has done his thing. Where can you expect the other help to come from? Okay. I really don't have too much faith in Jordan Clarkson. I don't have too much faith in Kyle Korver. George Hill, I think, could be a guy who maybe drops in 15 for you. Maybe you get LeBron, who gives you about maybe 40-plus. Kevin Love gives you his usual 20 and 10. And then you got George Hill dropping in 15 points. That might work. And I'm saying LeBron's got to drop 40-plus because, I mean, the guy dropped 51 in game one and they still lost. Okay. But nonetheless, they were in it. LeBron's going to have one of those type of games in order for the Cavs to get a win. So I think it'd be, yeah, like I said, the requirement would be LeBron's got to drop 40-plus, obviously a near triple-double. Kevin Love's got to do his thing, and then you need someone to drop at least 15, a third person, whether that be George Hill, maybe Rodney Hood steps up. All right, maybe Kyle Korver has a good game, or maybe Jeff Green. All right, but like I said, that's the biggest problem. It's just like you can't really expect it from anyone right now. You're not sure where that third scoring output is going to come from. All right, that's been one of the biggest problems with this Cavs team in this postseason, has been real inconsistency. Okay, you got Kevin Love and LeBron playing well, but after that, I mean, where's everyone else at? And that's going to be a tough thing for the Cavs to accomplish in order to win either game three or game four. But I mean, they got to win both or else the series is over in five. Okay, you can't go out and lose game three. Winning game four won't matter. And then winning game three and losing game four kind of is useless. All right. So we'll see what ends up happening. But nonetheless, we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, we're going to be talking about the Oakland A's. So stay tuned and I will be right back.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Alright, and welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. We spent that first segment basically just talking, more so just a segment on the Cavs, talking about LeBron's legacy, talking about Tyronn Lue saying that Rodney Hood's going to play more minutes in Game 3, and just talking about how they can beat the Warriors. Alright, so we spent the first segment on that, and then now for this segment, we're going to be talking about the Oakland Athletics drafting Kyler Murray with the 9th pick of the first round. Alright, so let's get into that. First, let's talk about the A's a bit. Okay, A's right now, currently in the AL West, are 31-29, 6.5 games back of the division leaders, Seattle Mariners, which is something that I'm not entirely used to seeing Seattle up there right now. Seattle's currently 37-22. Astros are a game back, 37-24, and then you got the Angels who are 33-28, 5 games back. Then, of course, you got the A's who are 31-29. Also, something I'm not really used to seeing is the A's over 500, okay? The A's over the last, let's say, 18 or so years from 2000 have been an off and on type of team, okay? It's like it's always been like a cycle, I guess, for me. Paying attention to the A's. It's been for 4 years, they're bad. Eventually, their prospects are old enough to the point where they can contribute on the team. They come out, they play well. All right. The A's will usually have a decent season where they either make the playoffs or come close. And then eventually, when those prospects get too good and are about to hit their prime, the A's got to trade them. Okay. And where are the A's currently on the wild card? A's are currently 5.5 games on the back of the wild card. It's going to be tough to win, make a wild card spot this year, just given you got the Yankees who are 38-18, and then you get the Astros who are 37-24. It's going to be two very good teams who make the wild card this year, whether it be the Red Sox who slip if they slip up, or maybe the Mariners. But either way, like I said, it's going to be tough. But like I said, the A's, I mean, last few years they've been pretty bad, okay? And more so now, you're just waiting for them to be good. And it's just with Oakland, they've always been a weird franchise. I mean, it's time that they move out of that stadium and end up getting a new one, or at least renovate that one. Eventually, well, I mean, yeah, there's no point in moving out now that you're going to be having the Raiders move to Vegas. So I think that's where we'll see some improvements as far as the O.co Coliseum. I've been there a handful of times. All right. And it is, to put it nicely, a dump. Okay. It never really fills up. And I can't really blame the A's fans for that, given that the team just really hasn't given them any reason to show up there. Okay. It's not in the nicest part of Oakland. And it's just, it's not something where you see the stadium, you're like, oh, wow, this is a very nice stadium. All right. So there's just a whole bunch of things surrounding the Oakland A's that needs to be fixed. And they're kind of, would I say they're kind of like the Cleveland Browns of the MLB? I don't think I'd go that far. Maybe like the Sacramento Kings, they're just stuck in mediocrity. Okay. And yesterday I was paying attention to the draft on my phone and all. And then you see that they take Kyler Murray. And I think, wait, isn't there Kyler Murray that plays quarterback for Oklahoma? I think I saw Baker Mayfield saying that the other day, that Kyler Murray could break all of his records at Oklahoma and all that. Kyler Murray's going to be a sophomore this season, I believe. And eventually you put two and two together, you look more into it. Yeah, it's the same person. Okay, you're seeing these analysts saying A's make a risky pick and all. And yes, that definitely was a risky pick for the A's. Okay. If you're the A's, you're not really thought too highly of in the MLB. Okay. That's true. And you don't really have time to be making these risk picks because of the fact is you want to come up from the bottom. All right. And there's a whole lot that ties into this as far as whether or not he plays baseball or football, what's more beneficial for him to play. But nonetheless, this is a pick where if you're the A's, you have to think that he is coming to play baseball, right? I mean, there's no way you take someone in the top 10 where you're not sure whether or not they're going to come to your team. Okay. And we've seen football players getting drafted by major league teams, where we got Russell Wilson who got drafted. I believe Colin Kaepernick got drafted too. And there's always been a handful of others, guys like Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders. And if Deion Sanders get drafted, he just move over and go play baseball too. All right. But nonetheless, I mean, seeing it, I think the A's are smart enough to where they have an idea, or at least they probably know what his decision is going to be. And like I said, you don't take a guy like that in the top 10 unless you know what his plan is. But it does seem like Murray is going to be playing this upcoming season at Oklahoma. All right, and then has his choice of whether or not he wants to go play baseball. All right. And Murray never really has had much of a chance at Oklahoma yet, just given the fact that he had a backup Baker Mayfield. And Murray's a guy who's thought of maybe could possibly win the Heisman this season. All right, he's a dual threat quarterback, can throw the ball and run the ball. So, I mean, he could get really good at this football thing. The only problem, I think, for Murray is that he's 5'10". Okay? I don't think there's many, if any, 5'10 quarterbacks in the NFL. Okay? And I think this is where I trust the A's. I think that Murray is going to end up playing baseball. Okay, if he ends up showing up with the A's, then I think he can make $4 million this season. Plus, there's always the what's better to play, what's more beneficial to play. All right, football or baseball. And I think that it'd be baseball here. Okay. And let me see. You had Drew Brees, who's 6 feet tall. Russell Wilson is 5'11". There's only two guys active right now that are 6 feet or under. Doug Flutie was 5'10". Sonny Jurgensen was 5'11". Fran Tarkenton was 6 feet tall. So no real 5'10 quarterbacks. It's all been 5'11 or 6 foot. And then again, I mean, it's not really, you don't really work out as a small quarterback. But nonetheless, getting back to the whole baseball or football, let's say he tries out the NFL. Like I said, I don't think there's going to be much of an opportunity for him, given that he's 5'10", and you pretty much got to be one of the best, obviously, in order to make it work. Okay. It's a tougher, more physical sport. Money isn't all guaranteed. You probably, like I said, it's going to be tough for him to make money given his size. You go play baseball, which you're very good at. Okay, obviously you're good enough to where you could be taken in the top 10 even if you're playing quarterback for a college football team. You'll make $4 million in your first season. All right, with your first contract, I should say. Contracts are guaranteed. Baseball is less physically demanding on your body. All right. Plus, there's more of an opportunity for you being the size that you are. I think the obvious answer here is to go play baseball. Okay. It's just 5'10 quarterbacks don't work out, and I highly doubt it'll work with this one. But nonetheless, like I said, this was a bit of a shocker. Okay. No one really knows for sure what exactly Kyler Murray is going to be doing. But like I said, I mean, it's got to be baseball, right? I don't think there's a way that you could pass that up, especially being a top 10 pick. I'm not sure how many 5'10 quarterbacks have gone in the first round like that. All right, Johnny Manziel's a small guy, but look at him. He didn't work out. Okay. And I'm not even sure that he's at like 5'10 or anything like that. And if you're the A's, 6 feet tall. And then if you're the A's, I mean, now more so, you're just trying to go up. And I think Kyler Murray could be a guy who helps him. Okay. Just moved to center field this past season. Was an infielder, but nonetheless. I mean, he's a quick guy, kind of like a, got the speed like a Jackie Bradley type of player, where he covers a lot of ground. And I mean, if you get that out of Kyler Murray, and maybe as far as defensively, plus he could hit a bit, I think that's a plus. All right. So we'll see what ends up happening for the A's as far as their season right now. Like I said, they're 31-29. Their biggest problem is that they play in the AL West. That's one of the tougher divisions, okay, where you got teams like the Astros, who just won a World Series. Mariners have stepped up this season. And you got the Angels, who, I mean, seemingly finally playing well with Mike Trout, but not good enough yet to be in playoff contention. I mean, as far as the wild card, the Angels are, they're four games back, so they're not completely out of it. They're four games back of the Astros, so we'll see you there. But, I mean, it seems you got Tampa Bay, who are 28-30. The only teams that are going to be competing for a wild card, I guess, would be the second place team of the AL East, and then whoever finishes second in the AL West. It doesn't seem like any of the other divisions are going to be making too much of a push. All right. But nonetheless, like I said, A's looking to change their culture a bit, looking to change their fortunes. Really haven't been the greatest team in the last 5 years. So we'll see if they are able to do that. All right. But nonetheless, we're going to wrap it up here. Just wanted to touch on this a bit for a segment. Next up, we're going to be talking about some players in the NFL who have a lot of intrigue around them, storylines to watch for about them, and see who really needs to step up. So stay tuned for that, and I will be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. So far today, we've talked about LeBron and the Cavs, also Rodney Hood a bit, talking about what the Cavs need to do Game 3 and Game 4. Second segment, we talked about the A's taking Kyler Murray with the ninth pick of the first round. Touched on that, gave some thoughts as far as the storyline surrounding it. And now we're going to head over to the NFL. And we're going to talk about a few players. Okay, I'm going to give my thoughts on a few. Just talking about players who were coming in with some storylines. Guys like Joe Flacco and all. Like, I was with guys with some uncertainty, like Brandon Cooks. All right, so we're going to bring them up. And also some players who watch out for, I guess. Maybe they're going to have a breakout season or whatnot. But like I said, that's what's going to go down for this third segment. And then for the fourth segment, we will be talking about anything else going on in the world of sports. All right, so let's get into it. Let's just start off with Joe Flacco, okay? Joe Flacco has won a Super Bowl, and that helped him get paid a whole bunch by the Ravens, okay? This is the final year that the Ravens have to pay him his guaranteed money. After that, I think it's all just a bunch of incentives and all. They can cut him before a certain point, and they don't got to pay him there. Okay. And the Ravens have drafted Lamar Jackson in the first round. Drafted him with the last pick of the first round. Also brought in RG3 to be the backup for this season. Okay. With Joe Flacco, there's always been the... Well, not more so the last couple of years, I'd say. But at one point in his career, there was the question of, is Joe Flacco elite? All right. I've always been on the side of no. Okay. At one point, yes, he was a very good quarterback, an above average quarterback, maybe a good quarterback, dare I say it. All right. But it's just more so now, he's just been very underwhelming. All right. Because, like, he hasn't been necessarily terrible. I don't think, at least. I mean, he hasn't been great or good, I'd say that. But like I said, he hasn't just been terrible. I think underwhelming is the right word. All right. And I think anywhere else, or actually let's say that Joe Flacco was getting paid a whole lot less, I think maybe we might think of him differently. Not more so as a bad quarterback, but just a guy who is good enough to stay in the league. All right. And that's crazy to say it now, because I mean, like I said, at one point Joe Flacco was a good quarterback. And like I said, he does have a Super Bowl. I will say this, and I've always said it, I think that the worst thing that could have happened to the Ravens was them winning a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco. Okay, because then they were required him to play all that money. And it's just he hasn't gotten better since. All right, if anything, he's kind of just digressed since the Super Bowl win. And I think going into this season, I mean, they drafted Lamar Jackson for a reason. They brought in RG3 to be the backup for a reason. That's in case Flacco does not work out this season. Okay, Flacco, I think, is going to be on an extremely short leash here. I don't think there's going to be too much leeway for him to go out and play as poorly as he has the last few years. Okay. And I think that Flacco most likely won't be with the Ravens after this season because I'm not really counting on him being improving his play this season. Okay. I don't think that Baltimore necessarily has the top players on offense for him and like to even be able to. All right. Baltimore has always just kind of put their offense to the side and more so focused on defense. Offense, just try and score as many as you can, and the defense will fix up the rest. All right. But as far as Joe Flacco, I mean, it's just more so if he gets cut by the Ravens, will he end up with a team after that? Yeah, he probably will be a starter for a team. Okay, I don't necessarily think that Joe Flacco is bad enough to where he shouldn't be a starter, but I just think that it's time for a change of scenery in Baltimore. All right. And obviously, it doesn't seem like he's really been the happiest of campers as far as them taking Lamar Jackson. I wouldn't necessarily hold my breath on waiting for Joe Flacco to help him mentor the guy, okay? Because that is the guy who eventually is going to take his job. All right. But like I said, there's a point where after the season, is Joe Flacco going to be a starting quarterback somewhere else? I think so. As far as for another player, Tyrod Taylor. Also someone I got my eye on this season, okay? I think Tyrod Taylor is extremely underappreciated as far as being a quarterback in this league. Obviously, he doesn't have the best of looking stats as a quarterback. I think last year he threw for 14 touchdowns, only 4 interceptions, didn't throw for over 3,000 yards. But you look at it, and his top receiver was Charles Clay, who plays tight end, and didn't even break 600 yards. Okay. I think that just goes to show how bad his wide receivers were. All right. Kelvin Benjamin necessarily isn't a bad receiver, but he's not a number one receiver. And Zay Jones, I don't think, ever really put it together this past season. Okay. And I think that the Bills were looking for a scapegoat, and I think they've been looking to find a reason to get rid of Taylor, which they did. All right. If you remember the season, I think it's the Bills get blown out, give up 50-something points or something like that. It's just a bad game all around. The week upcoming, they say that they're going to be benching Tyrod Taylor. I didn't understand it. I don't think many others understood it. Okay, but you could tell that the Bills were itching to get Nathan Peterman out there. All right. And like I said, that game where they lost, got blown out, that wasn't necessarily on Tyrod Taylor. He's not the one who gave up that many points. Okay. Nonetheless, the Bills put out Peterman. Yeah, this was a mistake. And that loss, too, I think they lost to the Chargers, where Peterman threw 5 picks. All right, but that loss almost kept them out of the playoffs. Nonetheless, Tyrod Taylor comes back in. They're battling for the rest of the season. They beat Miami week 17. They get some help from Cincinnati, and the Bills end up making the playoffs. And I don't understand how the Bills don't see that this guy led that team to the playoffs with the lack of weapons he had on offense. Of course, you got LeSean McCoy, but you can only give him the ball so many times. All right, and still got him to the playoffs after 21 years. And yet, they're still trying to get rid of him. And I think with Tyrod Taylor, he's a good quarterback when he's got a lot of talent around him. And even when he doesn't, he makes do with it. Okay, that's obviously why the Bills made the playoffs. All right, and now you put him on a team with the Browns, where you do have a lot of talent on that offensive side of the ball. You got a Josh Gordon, who, when he's got his head on straight, is a top 5 receiver in the league. You got Jarvis Landry, who is far and away the best slot receiver in the league. Okay, I'd even say just the top 10 receiver overall. And then you got Corey Coleman, who is a very good number 2 receiver. All right. Look over at the tight end position. You got a big guy in David Njoku who can pretty much just a bad matchup for all linebackers. All right, he's just got to figure it out in his second season. Over in the running back swap, you got Duke Johnson, who you can run the read options whenever. All right, Carlos Hyde, when healthy, he is a very good running back. And then you got Nick Chubb, who did tear his ACL with Georgia, but that was a while back, and since then has played well and hasn't really shown any concern for an injury. All right, Tyrod Taylor has a lot to work with this team. But, okay, if Tyrod Taylor, let's say, doesn't do necessarily well, maybe the Browns probably miss out on the playoffs or whatnot. Let's say that the Browns go like 6-10, 5-11 with Tyrod Taylor. He probably won't find another starting job in the NFL and maybe won't find a backup job. Okay. Actually, he probably will find a backup job, but that's just it. And the point I'm trying to make here is I think he is good enough to start, but he does have a lot surrounding him. Okay, I don't think really the league thinks as highly of him as I do. All right, so he's got to go out. He's got to at least go 8-8 with the Browns. Okay, at least 8-8, I think, to secure another starting job the year after. And obviously with the Browns, you got them taking Baker Mayfield number one. You don't take a guy number one just to sit him on the bench. Eventually, Baker Mayfield will be out there, and I think it will be after this year, where you got Tyrod Taylor, who's on the last year of his deal, too. Okay. And let's say that Tyrod Taylor takes this Browns team to the playoffs. Who knows? Maybe he could stick around in Cleveland. Okay. Which is all maybe worst-case scenario for the Browns. Let's say that Tyrod Taylor, like the Browns do well. Let's say they win 9 or 10 games and make the playoffs by some chance. Browns got themselves a problem there. Because you've got a quarterback who's done well with your team. You've never really had a decent quarterback since you came back to being a team in the NFL. All right? And you're going to let that guy go and say that Baker Mayfield just doesn't end up working out. The Browns would never hear the end of it. Okay? Absolutely would not. So Tyrod Taylor definitely is a guy to watch for this season. Another guy, too, besides a different player different from a quarterback, Brandon Cooks, wide receiver of the LA Rams now. Brandon Cooks was pretty good with the Saints, okay? Was on his way to becoming a, I wouldn't say top 5 receiver, but coming on his way to being a top 10 receiver, if not already a top 10 receiver, okay? He gets traded to the Patriots, and we all figure, yeah, Tom Brady, Brandon Cooks, he might be one of the best receivers in the league this season to have a real big year. He doesn't really have a big year. I think he catches, 65 passes, has a little over 1,000 yards, and has like 6 touchdowns, I believe. Those aren't necessarily bad stats, but given, I mean, if you watched him, it just didn't look like they were on the same page at all. It just didn't seem like he was a good fit over in New England. Okay. So that doesn't end up working out, and then he eventually ends up getting traded to the Rams. Now, we're more so just paying attention to see whether or not Cooks could get back to his New Orleans Saints form. Okay. Or is he going to be a guy where it's just he doesn't have it? And I think Cooks with the Rams is going to be very good. All right. I like Sean McVay running that offense, and I think that Jared Goff is going to do well in order to get it to Cooks. All right, and plus it's going to work out too where you got a guy like Todd Gurley out there in the running back spot, so you're going to keep a defense honest. You're not really going to see too many defensive backs out there, and you're not really going to see them stacking the box. It's going to be pretty even-keeled. You're going to know what the defense is throwing at you. Okay, so I think that's a plus as far as helping out the passing game there. My only concern with Cooks is that maybe he doesn't get enough targets possibly, which I don't think it's going to be a problem really, but it's just something where I'm just trying to figure out what could be a problem. Because you do got Robert Woods, who at home is a very good receiver with the Rams, on the road not so much. And then you do got a guy, Cooper Kupp, who in the slot played very well for the Rams last season. All right. So it's going to be very interesting to see if Brandon Cooks is a guy who could pick it up in his next NFL season with the Rams. And two, I mean, if you got Cooks playing well, that even adds up to the, or helps the Rams out as far as being Super Bowl contenders. So we'll see what ends up happening there. Let's see, any other players to really watch for right now? None really right now that I want to get into. I think I'm fine covering the three. Alex Smith actually is a guy. And then again, we're going real quarterback heavy, but I mean, that is the most talked about position. Alex Smith is someone to watch for, all right? Obviously, he never really hit his peak as far as being a quarterback in the league until he got to the Chiefs. Last couple of seasons with the 49ers, he did well, but Norwell never had a real chance with them. All right, his first few seasons with the 49ers never really had any real talent around him. And I do think that Alex Smith is a top 10 quarterback. He might just be the 10th best quarterback, but nonetheless, I do think that he is somewhere around that range. Okay. So he did well with the Chiefs, and the Chiefs were ready to move on from him. All right, they moved on to Patrick Mahomes, and now you got Alex Smith, who's making about, $71 million guaranteed, $94 million total as far as his contract, okay, with the Redskins. And now it's just a point to see if Alex Smith can continue to play well and if he could help elevate this Redskins team. I think they're going to be fine. I think they're going to play well, but I don't think many others do. But also it is a point where he is downgrading as far as offensive weapons. Okay, now you're going from Tyreek Hill to Josh Dotson, Jamison Crowder. You do have Paul Richardson there, who is always good for a couple of big plays in the game. As far as the running back spot, you got Darius Geis, who I think was a very good pick for this Redskins team, and I think is going to help out this offense a lot. And you got Vernon Davis there at tight end. Jordan Reed, I don't really put too much stock into him, given that he's always hurt. But nonetheless, he does have weapons to work with, so I think he could do well. But like I said, it's just more so now you're waiting to see what he could do with the Redskins. So we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, we're going to be talking about anything else going on in the world of sports. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. So far today, we've talked LeBron and the Cavs. I also talked about Rodney Hood a bit. Talked about the A's taking Kyler Murray in the top 10 of the first round. All right, it's a bit of a risky move there, but one that could pay off. And then we talked about in the third segment some players who have some storylines surrounding them and some just the intriguing guys to follow this upcoming season. All right, for this segment, we're going to be talking about anything else going on in the world of sports. And we did have a Brian Colangelo update yesterday. All right, can't remember exactly if I touched on it yesterday, but more so, we're going to go a little bit more in depth with it. So the Sixers ended up, obviously we know with the whole burner account situation and all that, Sixers opened up an investigation. It seems that more so they're focusing on Colangelo's wife rather than Colangelo himself. All right, and they also did hire a law firm to come help in the investigation. Okay. And hiring a law firm, I guess, makes it seem like it's kind of serious. All right, obviously. But nonetheless, I think that them bringing in the law firm is just them trying to have the law firm people go out and look for a reason as to, like, a cause as to how they could fire Colangelo. All right. Because there is a bit of a sticky situation here in the point where if it was Colangelo's wife, Colangelo could just go out and say, yeah, I had no clue about it. She could say, yeah, he had no clue about it. And I don't think that's really a means to, I don't think there's really anything there for you to fire him. All right. I think that either way, he probably should be fired. I'm not really with the whole sharing team sensitive information and that getting out there. As far as the whole Markelle Fultz situation and all, plus Jahlil Okafor's failed physical, that was never really news that was supposed to be out for the public. Okay. And as far as it all goes, I mean, this does look to make the 76ers look unprofessional as far as the whole situation. I mean, how do you expect a guy like LeBron to come to a team like this where they got these kind of problems? Okay. And the Sixers honestly would have been better off if they just had never gotten rid of Hinkie. All right. I do more so think that there was some pressure from the NBA as far as wanting to get rid of him. All right. Because obviously, I mean, that whole process thing, because let's go back to it. The Sixers necessarily weren't a bad team when they started the process. I mean, they were a team making the playoffs. They were more so a team making the playoffs, but not really doing much. Hinkie figured, you know what? This is getting old. Let's just start over. All right. And obviously, when you got Philly, who's a big market team, that's not really the best thing to see. One of your big market teams just blatantly going out there trying to lose. Not as far as like missing shots on purpose or anything like that, but when you got the front office pretty much forcing the coaching staff to play the D-League All-Stars, that's not really going to help out too much. All right. And obviously, the NBA didn't like that, but I can say going back to the whole process thing, Sixers were out there starting D-Leaguers. All right. Building up picks, assets. Everyone thought Sam Hinkie was a crazy person. Eventually, they get line guys like Nerlens Noel, Jahlil Okafor. Then you get Joel Embiid, who doesn't play for the first, 2 years since he's been drafted or something like that. I think a year and a half. Okay. Eventually, he comes out. He looks pretty good. You draft Ben Simmons. Oh, wait. Yeah, he can't play for the first season either because he fractured his foot or his ankle. Okay. He comes out the next season, plays well. Then you got Markelle Fultz, who was Brian Colangelo's pick. He doesn't play this season, really. Comes back, but doesn't really do much. All right. And not only that, they also did trade for that first pick, giving up to Kings pick next year in their third pick, which turned into Jason Tatum. All right. But I do think the process worked out well. And I think it's just Hinkie probably should have been given the benefit of the doubt. Like, as soon as he left is as soon as the process started to work. Okay. Which is a bit unfair, but I do, I guess, understand. Because, I mean, there's a whole point of what if Embiid just never really turned out to be as good as he is? Okay, and the injuries were something that hampered his career. Then the Sixers are pretty much just stuck. All right. But going back to the whole Colangelo thing, I mean, I don't think it's ever really been too much good since he's been with the Sixers. Okay. I think that, I mean, everyone's always going to look at the Markelle Fultz pick. And obviously, Markelle Fultz could just end up being a decent player. It's just more so whatever happened with him and his shooting motion is just something that he fixed, ended up fixing up. All right. And obviously, I mean, going back to the burner accounts, you got Colangelo's wife who sent a tweet out saying, well, whoever owned the burner account saying that it was his trainer, Markel Fultz's trainer, that was switching everything up, and that's what was causing him to be so bad. But nonetheless, I mean, I don't think it's time to give up on Fultz at all yet, okay? He did show flashes of being a decent player when he was out there. Not the first time, but the second time when he came back after everything that happened. All right, but like I said, I mean, this is one of Philly's biggest off seasons, I think. Okay, you got Joel Embiid, who I think is a top five center right now. Ben Simmons, who is on his way to becoming a top five player eventually. All right, if his rookie season is any indication of how his career is going to go. And then now it's just more so trying to add a third superstar to that team. Okay, a LeBron James, who would pretty much just elevate them to the top. Maybe you try and trade for a guy like Kawhi Leonard, who also would just elevate them to the top. Or maybe you convince Paul George not to go to the Lakers and have him come to Philly. All right? Paul George getting the ball from Ben Simmons would be something fun to watch. All right? I think Paul George would be a whole lot better with the Sixers than he was over at OKC. And I think that the Sixers would probably be the better option for him compared to the Lakers. Okay, I understand he's from LA and all that, but nonetheless, you have more of a chance to go win with Philly than you do with the Lakers. All right? But again, it doesn't really look too professional when you got investigations like this going on. All right? So it's going to be very interesting to see what they're going to do here. And I'd be very surprised if they end up keeping Colangelo. And I think if they do keep Colangelo, that's probably the worst thing they could do. All right? Because whether it was him or his wife, I don't think Joel Embiid is going to be too happy about those Twitter accounts taking shots at him, given that it is connected to Colangelo in some way. All right. I don't think it really does well for Markel Fultz, given that information coming out. And like I said, it just doesn't look professional when you got the Twitter account tweeting out how Jahlil Okafor has failed a physical before and all that. And that wasn't really public information or information for the public to know. All right. So it'll be very interesting to see what ends up happening, but nonetheless, that is something that I wanted to bring up. I don't really think there's too much else going on in the world of sports right now. Like I said, I mean, we had the MLB draft going on yesterday. Kyler Murray, I think, was one of the bigger stories from it. Oh yeah, we had the Washington Capitals beating the Vegas Golden Knights. All right, I think Washington's finally going to do it, and it's tough. Actually, that was on Monday. I forgot. Did not have a game yesterday, but nonetheless, talking about that series, it's just one where Vegas' luck has finally run out. Okay. Marc-Andre Fleury doesn't look as dominant in the crease as he did the first, three rounds. Okay. I think that was the best he's played in a while. All right. And it's just with Vegas, I mean, stories like this just don't happen. Okay. They just simply don't. They should be proud of their run. Still don't think they should throw a parade for it, but nonetheless, it was a memorable run. All right. When you got Washington up 3-1, I mean, it's going to be tough for Vegas to try and come back for that. All right. We got Game 5 coming up on Thursday over in Vegas. Maybe they could take one there and try and see what they can do in Game 6, but like I said, it'd be tough to get it to Game 7. But nonetheless, we're going to wrap it up here today. Today, we talked about LeBron, his legacy as far as is it affected if they lose to the Warriors. Also talked about the fact that Rodney Hood could be getting more playing time in Game 3, which, I mean, it doesn't hurt anyone there, given that Jordan Clarkson, Kyle Korver, and J.R. Smith have just been really bad. Second segment, we talked about the A's taking Kyler Murray with the 9th pick of the first round of the MLB draft. A bit of a risky move, but I figure if you're taking a guy that high, you have to know what his intentions are, and I'm assuming it's to play baseball. All right. Third segment, we talked about Joe Flacco, Tyrod Taylor, Alex Smith, and Brandon Cooks. Talked about storylines surrounding them and why they're intriguing coming into the season. And then we spent a lot of this fourth segment talking about Brian Colangelo and the 76ers hiring a law firm to join it on their investigation. So thanks for listening to the GSMC Sports Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. I will be back tomorrow, so stay tuned, and I will talk to you later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.